And now to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Jess.
My name is Jen, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, Jen.
Just gonna adjust this mic for a minute. So my sobriety date is April 4th, 2010. I have a sponsor. I have service commitments. This is my home group, and this is where I got sober. It was one of the rooms I got sober and counted days in over 3 years ago, and I'm very grateful to this group. I definitely found a lot of fun in this meeting and also a lot of recovery here. And I got sober at age 24, so I have had some legal drinks, but I still really love this meeting because I identify with a lot of the speakers, and I also get a really good message here. So I'm going to share a little bit about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And what it was like for me, I had my first drunk when I was 15 years old. And I was on a cruise ship with my family, and there was a lot of drinking on this cruise ship. And I drank a bottle of champagne. And I remember just sitting on the balcony crying, talking to my mom about some drama that was going on in my life, and feeling like I could let loose, and like I could kind of blame my behavior on being drunk, and just really let it all hang out, and that it didn't matter what happened. I'm not one of those people who was like, from my first drink, I knew it's what I wanted to do every day. I definitely am not. My story is that my disease is progressive, as it is for everyone, and that my progression is in some ways slower, but that doesn't mean I'm not an alcoholic. That's just my story. So, and the other, you know, when you think about, like it talks about in the big book about causes and conditions that drove us to drink, and that drinking was just a symptom, like that I already had a lot of problems before I picked up alcohol. And definitely that thing about like feeling uncomfortable in my skin was something I had felt a lot, especially like I think at age 13, like a switch just turned and I was just like, I feel insecure or like all the time. And like very bad, like not talking to people. I remember I went on this trip, and that was like a community service trip, and I just like couldn't speak. Like, it was painful for me to interact socially a lot of times, especially with people I didn't know. And definitely alcohol was something that alleviated that for me. And just, like I said, let me feel like I could express myself, and it didn't matter what came out, but I could just blame it on the booze, so... So that's kind of where my first drunk was. And then, you know, I'm not going to get too into it, but I'll just say that most of my drinking was in college. And I went to school here in New York City and went to a lot of bars downtown and was out very late at night and would come home, like, on the train at 5 in the morning with the businessmen or people going to work. And it was... We would, like, steal things on the street and carry them in the train with us, like, drawers and, like, fruit from the fruit stand and who knows what, I don't know, mugs from the bar. And we were just, like, on the train, like, and you see people, like, going to work and you're like, oh, this sucks. And I kind of had, like, my partying group, and my sophomore year was pretty much a blur. I think I was mostly, like, a binge weekend drinker. A few times, but they were, like, long trip kind of time. Like, we did one of those student tours to Jamaica. That was kind of a shit show. And that was, like, the first time I remember blacking out, because I only know that because I saw a photograph later on my friend's computer of me, like, half naked, laying on her bed. And I was like, I have no idea when that was taken. So that's my proof to myself that I blacked out at least once that I remember. A big part of my story is that I have a lot of denial about my alcoholism, because I have a lot of people to compare myself to, and I compared myself to a lot of people. I ran with friends who drank worse than I did, at least one. Maybe I'm exaggerating. Probably am. And my mom is also an alcoholic, and a lot of other people in my family. So, and she was, like, much further down the progression than I was, so I could always look to her and say, like, she's the one with the problem, not me. Like, I'm just being a normal young person. But the truth is, like, I used alcohol to cope in a lot of ways. I remember, like, my dad also got really sick when I was in college. He had a stroke. And one time my mom called me drunk and was kind of telling me that she had to go to the hospital and how my dad was sick and all this stuff. And I was out at a party, and once I got the call, I just was so, like, I didn't even know what to do. So I just went back and started, like, pounding back the drinks. And that was just kind of how I dealt with things. There are other self-destructive things I did, but that was definitely one. Drinking was definitely a big one. And so, the real reason that I found out that I had a problem with alcohol for me was specifically when I tried to control my drinking, because I found that if I just tried to have one glass of wine or one beer or whatever, that I would be clutching the glass and obsessively watching how much was in the bottle, or not the bottle, the glass. And, like, you know, watching what people around me were drinking and how much were they drinking and were they drunk? Were they drunker than I was? And, like, just going insane, obsessing about it. And, like, now that I know that that's part of this disease, is the mental obsession that we have. And that's also my experience of the physical allergy, that my body was just craving more alcohol. And by trying to control it, I was experiencing that phenomenon of craving, where in the past I would just continue to drink. So I wasn't quite as aware of it until I just finally decided I'm going to try and control it. I did the things like, you know, switching. I thought it was vodka and hard liquor, so I was only going to drink, like, wine and beer, and of course that didn't do anything. Only going to drink, like, certain proof or whatever. Not gonna, like, drink by myself, not gonna drink at home, only going out, all those things. And, you know, there were periods of time where I could take it or leave it. That's part of my story as well. So once I was graduating college, I started going to Al-Anon, which is our sister fellowship for family and friends of alcoholics. Because again, my mom was the problem, not me. So, I started to learn about this disease, and I really had kind of hit my bottom, my bottom at the time also had to do with alcohol. I just didn't know that. I thought it was depression. I thought it was all these other things. I started to work the steps in Al-Anon. I started to go to meetings regularly there, and my life was getting a lot better. And as I started to learn about this disease and really see how deadly it was, I decided I'm not going to drink, you know, that I can't, I just know that it's in my blood and whatever. And I didn't really look at, like, you know, I guess in some portion of my mind I did know, like, it's probably not a good idea for me based on what has happened in the past when I drink. But I just said, you know, I'm just going to not do it. So I would kind of avoid, like, places my friends were going and parties and things like that. I just kind of stayed in my little Al-Anon bubble. And once in a while, I would go, and like I said, for a long, like, months at a time, I was able to take it or leave it. I was not thinking about booze And I was feeling better because I was working the spiritual solution we have just in a different program. And this problem with alcohol would still creep up. And, you know, I decided I would go to a party. And I remember, like, going to a friend's birthday party and snatching her drinks out of her hand because since it was her birthday, she was getting a lot of free drinks. And I was like, you don't want that, right? I'm just going to, you know, take it. And, you know, that thing that I think it's in Bill's story about, like, commencing to drink the cocktails as carelessly as if it was ginger ale. Like, I found myself having that experience and just noticing how fast I was gulping down the drink. And just, like, I was desperate to feel drunk and have it in my body. And I was just like, whoa, this is, like, what is happening. I just had more of an awareness. And so that's right after that, I decided I wasn't going to drink hard liquor anymore. And that was going to be my solution to the alcohol problem. Of course, that didn't work. Of course, you know, whenever I was around alcohol, which is kind of like it's in our lives, it's inevitable. Like, go to a restaurant, whatever, go to a party. And I just couldn't really say no. So I would keep finding myself in this conundrum. And basically, I decided to come in here because I had a couple bad nights and I started talking to a woman from AA on the phone. And she was like 12-stepping me. And I definitely was not convinced at first, but I decided to give it 30 days. And I was really not happy to be here. If any of you guys were around me, you would know. I was really angry because, like I said, I was not the one with the problem. You guys were the ones who were really fucked up. I was the one who had all my shit together, so I thought. And, like, I didn't really need to be here. And actually, for a while, I did question whether or not I had needed to be here for a long time in my sobriety. I, you know, I have a lot of yets in my story. That's the way I like to think of it. There are times I could have ended up in the hospital. I didn't for some reason. You know, I wasn't a daily drinker, like I said. There's a lot of yets. So it was easy for me to sit here and compare myself to you guys and say, like, why the hell am I here? Yet there was something that was still keeping me here. What it was, I don't know. I guess it was just that I was willing to try and willing to just stay. And people just kept saying, like, keep coming back, keep coming back. So I was just, like, trying to keep my ears open and listen. And and I just want to share something that my sponsor shared with me the second time I've been going through the steps, which is a page called They Stopped in Time. And it's beginning of the second. There's like a bunch of personal stories in the back of the big book, which if you're new, it's like the basic AA text. And there's stories of like high bottoms and low bottoms, which, like, in the end, I now believe, like, who the fuck cares? But it's like we all are here for some reason. Who cares? Like, just stay, basically. But this is something that helped me stay, which is the preface to this, like, high bottom portion. So it says, among today's incoming AA members, many have never reached the advanced stages of alcoholism, though given time, all might have. Most of these fortunate ones have had no or little acquaintance with delirium, hospitals, asylums, and jails. Some were drinking heavily, and there had been occasional serious episodes. But with many, drinking had been little more than a sometimes uncontrollable nuisance. Seldom have any of these lost either health, business, family, or friends. Why do men and women like these join AA? They saw that they had become actual or potential alcoholics, even though no serious harm had yet been done. They realized that repeated lack of drinking control, when they really wanted control, was the fatal symptom that spelled problem drinking. This, plus a mounting emotional disturbances, convinced them that compulsive alcoholism already had them, that complete ruin would only be a question of time. And then it says here, they realized that in the end, alcoholism could be as mortal as cancer. Certainly no sane man would wait for malignant growth to become fatal before seeking help. So I used to read that page a lot, and it's something that really helped me to stay. and to not only stay, but over time, to feel more in my spirit and my heart that this is, like, where I belong and that I deserve to be here. And, like, that right now I'm speaking as honestly as I can and that I don't have to exaggerate my story for anyone or try to belittle any of the parts, but it's just my story. Not done yet. Let's see. I got a little distracted. So the other thing that I experienced once I came in here was the mental obsession got crazy because I was freaking out every single day about whether or not I was an alcoholic, and I was calling all these women, like, trying to get the answer, and no one would give me the answer. I was like, come on, guys, like, help me out here. But in the end, I'm so grateful that no one told me. Like, you guys were just telling me your experience. You were taking me through the literature, you know, reading to me what an alcohol is and isn't, alcoholic is and is not. It's really up to each of us to decide we belong, you know? And it doesn't matter what your story, I've heard people be like, you know, I did, like, X, Y, and Z drugs, but I don't think I'm an alcoholic. You know, I had DTs. I don't think I'm an alcoholic. Like, it really doesn't matter. This is just part of our mental twist we have. And that's my belief that, you know, I have a disease that just wants me to go out and wants me to be really bad to myself and die eventually. And this is just one way it manifests itself is in this mental obsession. And so my sponsor was at IKIPA last year, 2 years ago, and she heard this speaker, one of the main speakers, who had a high bottom whatever story, and she also said that she had two obsessions. The first one was that she wasn't an alcoholic, and the second one was that she wanted to drink. And she texted me and was like, oh my God, you need to speak to this person. And when I talked to this woman and then I heard her story, that was one of the things also that helped me to be convinced, because I totally identified with that I was like, I don't belong here, but God, I want to drink. Like, hello? Who thinks that way? Like, not a sane person. And what I get from coming here and doing the work is freedom from that mental obsession. You know, I don't think about alcohol nearly as much as I did when I was coming in here the first year and a half, first couple years. I didn't even mention this, but before I got a year, I actually, like, had said to my sponsor at the time, you know, I'm going to go out. Like, I need to do that test in the big book that says, like, go to the nearest bar room and try controlled drinking. And, like, looking back, it's so funny because I had already done that so many times. But I still, like, just, you know, I didn't think I was surrendered enough to be here and it wasn't going to work for me. And, like, the truth is, if I'm doing the actions, which, not perfectly, I drag my ass sometimes, but if I'm taking the actions and showing up and doing step work and calling my sponsor and all those other good things, then I am willing. I don't have to feel like, you know, I'm on some spiritual mountaintop or something in terms of my surrender. So anyway, that time when I called her and said, I'm done, she was like, all right, you know, good luck. Like, I hope you find your truth. And bless you. What ended up happening is I just locked myself in my apartment, was crying, and I couldn't do it. So it was a lot of drama over nothing. And, you know, I don't think I would have been able to drink at this point. I don't think I could have actually physically done it. Anyway, how much time do I have? So in terms of, like, the program itself, like, I had a concept of God when I came in here from the other fellowship I was in, but that concept obviously needed a lot of reworking, and it still does every day, because my default is, like, to have a punishing higher power. And, you know, just the way I, like, punish myself in my head and that kind of thing, like, it just is equivalent. And it's a daily practice for me to connect with a higher power that's compassionate and loving and is there for me and wants the best for me. And something that has given me faith is just, like, seeing that I've been able to stay this long. Like, I really, really used to pray, like, God, please just show me that I'm an alcoholic. Like, show me without having me to go out. And, like, the fact that I am able to sit here and say, like, I believe it in that, in my gut, and I feel, like, more secure in my skin is a big miracle. And for that, I believe that there's some sort of, I mean, for other reasons, too, but that gives me faith. And, you know, like, I just see the rest of the steps as, like, a practice, and it's our clearing out all the wreckage and all the muck that blocks us from this power that's going to restore us to sanity. And, you know, if you're new or whatever, you're just like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's a spiritual program. It's not a religious program. And it can be anything greater than you. Personally, I don't really have a concrete concept of God. I think it changes every day for me. But just even having faith that I can stay sober today and other people can stay sober, that's like something greater than me is doing that. And like working the steps, and I'm happy to say, thank God, that I'm going to be starting my fifth step again this weekend. Is something, like I said, that just clears a path and clears the wreckage away for me to be, like, closer to my higher power and to my fellows and to repair, like, the damaged relationships that I've created in the wreckage of my drinking and just my alcoholic behavior, in sobriety, too. And it's a way of life that keeps me sane relatively and happy. And, you know, when I feel that way, I don't want to drink. Like, things are going good, and I don't need to, like, poison my life with this destructive force. Like, I don't need something else to fill that hole in my life. And, like, when I'm filled up with, like, God and, you know, just fellowship and all the tools here, like, I don't need that. I don't think about it, and thank God that has been relieved for me today, and it's a day at a time. And let's see. I think that's mostly what I want to say. I'm not sure, but I hope that there was something helpful for you guys. And again, I love this meeting. Very grateful for this meeting and for all of you. So thank you.